Lord bless you all this morning. Welcome here in the name of the Lord. Our desire is our Lord this morning. And through to stand and sing, we're marching to Zion. We just bow our heads in prayer this morning. Precious Saviour, Lord Jesus, Lord, we just come before you humbly this morning, Lord. Lord, knowing that we can do nothing in ourselves, Lord, but I just pray that you would bear us up, Lord, on your wings this morning, Lord, and lift us above the cares of this world, Lord, and all that should hold us back, Lord, and just draw us into your presence, Lord, that we might worship you, Lord, and give you praise and glory this morning, and Lord, and lift up your name on high, Lord, and Lord, and just pray that you would be present with us, Lord, this morning, Lord, and bless those that might still be coming, Lord. And we just thank you for this time that we can gather together, Lord, as your children, Lord, and just love you, Lord, and give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. It's saying more about Jesus.
More about Jesus, would you know? More of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more. Would you learn?
A lot of things. You can have a lot more money, but I tell you what, it won't make you any happier.
Amen, brother.
Let's sing the voice of my beloved. The voice of my beloved, behold, he quickly comes. All the mountains, over the hills he runs. How long to hear him say, how long to hear him say, arise my love, my fear one come away. It's manifesting now, the take this opportunity to thank all the musicians, actually. You don't realize how much of a difference it makes when someone's missing. One of the instruments is missing. It's amazing. Let's sing, Let Me Walk With You. Sorry, Let Me Walk, Blessed Lord.
Walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and lost. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way.
Sing Noah Had Drifted.
Noah had drifted on the flood many days. It's for land various ways. Troubles he had some, and not from above. Gave him a song on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove. Aside from above,
Any items this morning? No? 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 Would you like to? Thank you. Shall we sing? No, you're not sitting down. We're singing that, as Sister Pauline is finding an item, we'll sing number 593, Give Thanks.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks.
Sister Diane. Wonder how many other items we've got then, if that's what happens. Amen.
Never thought I'd one day before, and you came one day too late, one day too late. Jesus came, and you've been left behind to wait. Yesterday you couldn't find time for Jesus.
How true is that song? That will be for so many millions, you know. And I remember when that song used to pull on my heart, but now it doesn't because I know in whom I've believed. But no doubt it pulls on many hearts, but it'll be one day too late. I'll just ask Brother Bill if you would take prayer request this morning. Sorry, but there's a couple of new ones, so I will just read them and then I'd ask you if you would. Harimoi. This is from a Sister Brown. She just asked for salvation and healing for her father who has heart troubles, and also that the Lord would have his way in their considering selling and buying in a different state, I would say. And also we just remember Nick, who's shingles, I believe he's the Greek man. And also for Sister Angie and Sister Helen Younger for strength and healing. And that's just if there was any others from the congregation.
Larry's asked if we can pray for his son Michael Cliffy. He hurt his hand yesterday with a restraining offence that came back and whacked his hand. It's quite swollen.
We can certainly do that. Any others? Any unspoken? Thank you, Bill.
Got halfway down the coast yesterday and realised I only had my gumboots on. So I had to come to church in my socks. Who was that, Mike? Cleffy? Where were those other ones, bro?
Both were there.
Okay. Angie? Helen, Nick, the Greek guy.
Sister Brown.
I like the way, I never seen that set out like that. Give thanks and then the hyphen and then what to give thanks for. What can you give thanks for this morning, Brother Taz?
God's faithfulness.
Amen. What about you, Sister Heather? What can you give thanks for? And you got Tazzy? What about you, Brother Lee?
Well, I know that the Lord loves me and that thrills me.
Yep. What can you give thanks for, Nico?
Life.
Amen. What about you, Paul?
Yes, the Lord loves me and that I love them.
Amen. In the Awe?
I love the Lord and he loves me.
Amen. What about you, Sister Shirley?
Amen.
You know, it was amazing, you know, because I've been away a little bit. And just these trees here, I always say about these trees here, but it's amazing, like, just before the holidays, it was all green. I'm going to choose you in a minute, darling. And now, you know, it's all just changed. But they're beautiful days these days. What's your muko's name, Hineawe?
What's your name?
Silla. Silla, what's your prayer? What can you give thanks for, Silla? You've got teddies at your home. Amen. Some kids got no teddies. Nico hasn't. What about you, Sister Anna? What can you give thanks for? What about you, Gracie? Your family. Beautiful. Just before I pray, I just want to share. I had such a cool day on Thursday. I had an afternoon course in town, but my boss gave me the whole day off. So I came down and I called in at Tolaga. I've got an auntie there who lives on 10 acres by herself. She's 93. And she's pretty, she's as straight as a, straight up and down. And she's still got kind of blackish hair. She doesn't dye it. It's sort of kind of more black than grey. And she had something wrong with her multi-plug and she needed it taken off and a new one put on. Well, if you know me, you know that I'm not my father's son in that area. But I could help her out. Then I got to town, did some business. Then I thought, I'm going to go and see my auntie who's just in Te Wiramu House at the moment. And she's 86, rising 87. And she loves the Lord, Betty Solvander. And I got to pray with her. Then our nanny... Kate Tamepo, who used to live in Tapuia, she's 93, and I went to see her. And last time I went to see her, she didn't know who I was. This time she said, how are you? Are you still living in Rutoria? How's your father? Give my love to your huarangatira and your wife and your children. And I got an opportunity to pray with her. And then I went to see my other uncle, Peter Blair, over here at 89, still living by himself and I'm really good. And I thought, man, you know, it's great. And all of those people, can I just tell you something, Nico and Jackson and the Hughes girls, and little Scylla there, one of the things I really know about those people is that they all honour their parents. All of them. All of them, when they speak about their parents, they really honour their parents. And that's a promise. If you honour your parents, you'll live long on the earth and things will go well with you. Simple. Anyway, let's pray. We got some prayers too because Eli, our neighbour's little baby, they got rushed. They thought he had meningitis. He's in Gisborne Hospital. He hasn't got meningitis, but pray for him. Jan had lunch with Israel on Friday just to pray for him. He's all right, but his boss and where he works, they're up to some crazy things. So just help him to stand alone. He is at the moment, so just help him. Who else? Ray Chaffee, I told you fellas, he had his leg chopped off. He's still in the hospital, but he's coming along fine. That's good. And Jan's brother, she stayed with her brother in Taranaki all last week. He's a diabetic and got his toe, going wonky. Just keep it safe. Was anyone else? Mari Claffey, anyone else? Just do the final sweep. Leah, any prayer requests? Good. Okay. Lord, we just come before you and we thank you, Lord, that you are God who can be touched, Lord Jesus, and that you hear us, Lord. If we cry out to you, you hear us. We got a living God this morning. We're not talking to some Buddha or some statue or someone who's still in the grave, but we come to a living God who's full of power, Lord. And Lord, we can give thanks for so much this morning. We give thanks to you, Lord, just for the very life that's in us at the moment, the very breath that's in our lungs. And Lord, we are so grateful to you that you've just upheld us over this time, just step by step with Jesus. And we just see our lives unfolding and just seeing your care for us, Lord, your immense love for us, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we want to pray for... Mike Claffey, Lord, just for his hand, Lord Jesus, that got hurt yesterday, Lord, just pray that you touch him, Lord, and touch his heart too, Lord. We thank you for his mother's faith, Lord. And just, Yeah, just cry out to you for him, Lord. For Sister Brown, Lord, just for the needs that she has in her life. For Angie, Lord. I can't remember which one was thinking about moving states, but those are huge issues and huge things to deal with, Lord. Just pray that you would undertake and go before them, Lord. For Nick, Lord, the Greek guy who's got shingles. I know a friend of ours has got shingles at the moment, Lord, and it's incredibly painful, Lord. But you, Lord, are the healer, Lord, and we stand on your word this morning and just pray, Lord, that even if he doesn't believe, Lord Jesus, you can still touch him, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, that that would draw his heart to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to pray for little Eli up there in hospital at the moment, that you just touch him and help his mother just have a strong faith that God's able to heal her little baby. Lord Jesus, for Jan's brother, Niall, Lord, just for his toe. Yeah. For Israel, Lord, just help Israel, Lord, just to continue to stand alone, Lord, not to get involved in those crazy things that his bosses and his workmates are doing, Lord. Mm-hmm. Also, Lord, just for Ray Chaffee, Lord, our papa from Tokomaru Bay, who's had his leg amputated at the knee, Lord, just pray for him, even an opportunity to go and visit. Lord, I pray for us, Lord, as a body of Christ, Lord, that we won't be weary in well-doing, Lord, that we'll take opportunities, Lord, just, you know, when you just prompt us, Lord, and don't just be comfortable in our warm house by our fire or whatever, but just push us out there, Lord Jesus, just to pray for the people, because we got something that those people need, and it's Jesus Christ. It's not us, Lord. It's you through us, Lord Jesus. So just pray that you'll have your way, Lord. Lord, cause us to rise up, Lord, and just to be messengers of your gospel, Lord Jesus, of your healing, of your love, and your great desire for people to live a life in Christ, Lord, in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
That is yours. We'll just sing a few more and then I'll ask Brother Howard to come. Let's sing, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord.
I'm reaching out to you.
Love, mercy, mercy and grace. Love, mercy and grace.
I saw love, mercy and grace. I saw love, mercy and grace. I am vision, his beauty I look on.
One more, Touching Jesus. I'm not too sure how many people know it. I know Sister Diane does. Do you know the song?
Touching Jesus is all that really matters. And your life
power of God is lifting my faith. I feel the touch of His mighty hand. It's making me whole right where I am.
King Jesus is all that really matters, and your life will never be the same. And there's only one way to touch Him. Just
glory is here, filling this place. The power of God is lifting my faith. I feel the touch of His mighty hand. It's making me whole right where I am.
Jesus is all that rain. really matter, and your life will never be the same. And there's only one way to touch it. Just
some practice we can put that together. Amen. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise the Lord. It makes all the difference when he touches you. I'm telling you. I know from experience. I think we have got a problem here, Paul. I think this lid is collapsing. I don't want to fall into the pool. But it needs to be looked at, I think. I think you're right, Lee. It's collapsed. May need to be replaced, I don't know. But, you know, it's what makes a difference is when the Lord touches you. Makes all the difference in the world, actually. Without it, we're just religious. And I want to read you a scripture this morning. It's a real blessing to me. And I pray it'll be a blessing to you. If I can find it. Yes. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. This is what God wants of you. He doesn't want you to be religious. He doesn't want you to be just a churchgoer. It says here, now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Now Israel, who believes we're spiritual Israel? Amen. The Bible says so through Christ. But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good, for your good. You want to be blessed? Serve him. And we mentioned that last week a bit about serving the Lord. Doing right. You're going to benefit from it. There is a benefit from it. But isn't that a beautiful scripture? Why don't we just read that together? Might sink into your heart more. Maybe we just stand, shall we, and just read this. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee? To fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep his commandments, the Lord, and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful word, isn't it? So I was really blessed by that. And I sent it to my wife in Greece. So she'll be reading it in the morning. And we just thank God for that. So I want to turn to another scripture reading for our message this morning. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54, verse 6 to 9. Sort of an unusual scripture. Unusual sermon. I pray you'll be blessed by it. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I did hide my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have I sworn that I would not be wrothed with thee, nor rebuke thee. May God bless the reading of his word. Shall we just pray? Precious, loving Heavenly Father, you're always with us, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll be with us this morning as we consider these few thoughts for a moment, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will bless your word and encourage us in thee. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit this morning will come and anoint the hearers and the speaker. Lord, that they will hear what the Spirit would say unto the church this morning. We commit this into your hands, Lord. Well, Lord, we're not here to just sing and clap our hands, and that's all good. But, Lord, we're here to hear from you through thy word. As Sister Anna said, for you are the word. And you said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for your glory. We just stand against every wrong spirit, every contrary thought. In the name of Jesus Christ, we plead the blood of Jesus upon the service, that your name may be magnified and that you will receive all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. So the title of my subject this morning is this. Is everybody listening? Yes. That's great. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. That's God speaking. It may appear to be strange, title or the subject, for the sermon may seem to be strange, but actually, without doubt, it is very true and is found all through the scripture, as we will come to see. And sometimes we are very low to respond to God's calling. Sometimes God has to take other action to wake us up. God has to do it. And as our title suggests that God purposefully forsakes us for a season. And we just read it. I'll read it again. It says here, for a small moment, the Lord said, I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Now this is really powerful. This is a fact of life and it'll explain a lot of reasons why you go through hard times. I pray that God will quicken it to you as he's quickening it to me in my own life. That the Lord will help us to understand. So as the title says, God purposely forsakes us for a season. So how long is that season? How long is that season that he forsakes you for? The season is as long as it takes for us to spiritually wake up. This is entirely the work of the Lord. And hiding his presence from us, as it says further down, hiding his presence from us is actually an act of divine love. Now, as much as we don't like it, it helps us greatly to find him when the Lord deserts you. Brother, sister, we're not playing church. This is the reality of a Christian walk. It's not all on the mountaintops praising God. And I love that, and there's times when we do. But there's times when God withdraws from your life and you seem to be going through a hard time. We're going to find out something here that's actually an act of divine love. That's how God does things for your good. As we read in that first reading I had, for your good. It'll be good for you. Do you know it's possible to grieve the Lord? It's actually possible. Do you know it's possible to rouse the anger of the Lord against you? These things are true, brother and sister. We think, you know, a lot of people paint the Lord as the lovely Lord Jesus, you know. As I always used to say about the bumper stickers on a car, it says, they have, God loves you with a smiley face. Well, that's true, but that's not the whole truth. He also, if you love him, you'll keep his word. If you love him, you'll walk with God. So I like to see you have the full gospel, the whole counsel of God. We do not want to wash it down and, you know, some people just, you know, God's just a convenience to some people. It won't turn out that way. So it's possible to arouse the Lord to anger, as the verse says in verse 8 of our first reading. Maybe you can keep that handy, Nancy. A little wrath, he says, a little wrath. God gets wrathful. I'll hide my face from thee. God is angry about something. He's upset about it. He withdraws from you. What a frightful thing to think about that. That God withdraws from you. Yes, we can grieve the Holy Spirit very quickly. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Watch how you talk. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Sorry. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. So you can upset God. He'll hide his face from you. He can withdraw from you because he's upset. And the Word of God is telling us that God has to take these drastic actions, and they are very drastic when God pulls out of your life. Very serious. We need the Lord.
Amen.
You really need him, brother and sister. You can't even see a day through without the Lord. Not because he's against us, but because he's for us and he loves us. That's the actions of God. The reason he does that is because he loves you. And love is very corrective, especially when it comes to God's love. The Word of God confirms this. We can read this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. That's the chastening of the Lord. He's coming behind you with a stick. Neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father, the son, whom he delighteth. In whom he delighteth. Hebrews 12:6 we read. From whom the Lord loveth, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Now I noticed something very wonderful in those two verses. I hope you do. I wonder if you've picked it. There's a common denominator in those two verses we read. God
Go back to the first one, Nancy, please. Oh, you lost it. Oh. The first one is Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Hebrews 12:6. It says there, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? The common denominator is my son. It's family, Bill. It's his children. It's children that are getting a spanking. It's a wonderful thing that God will spank you because he loves you. It's an ID, an identification that you are a child of God when he chastens. People say, I don't have any problems. These things don't bother me. That would worry me. When God's dealing with you, he's going to chasten you because he loves you and he's going to bring you in. My son or my daughter. It applies to daughters too, you see. So when you suffer trials and testings, it's a good sign you are a child of God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
So God's methods of correction, he has many methods of correction, and they always work. And the Lord uses that which is appropriate for each person. Pauline may be corrected on a certain manner, or a testing come her way that doesn't come to me necessarily, but I'll have something else that doesn't come to her, and you have something else that doesn't come to anyone else, but God is using that to wake you up. And he's waking you up because he loves you and he knows he's coming soon and he wants you to be ready. So I'm glad for the chastisements of the Lord. Praise be to God. So the method of being forsaken of the Heavenly Father, that's one of his methods, to be forsaken of the Heavenly Father, is a terrible and almost unbearable experience to the child of God. David said, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He cried, oh God, be merciful, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He said, oh no, Lord, I cannot stand this. Lord, don't take your spirit from me. So we see there, forsaken is a terrible, unbearable experience to the child of God. To a not a child of God, doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me, Brother Howard. He comes, he doesn't, it does. It bothers me when he withdraws. Because we're children. It's our Father. I remember seeing something played out before me one day in town. And this father had a daughter with him, and they were shopping, of course. And they're walking down the road, and this little girl, she just kept on running on ahead. And if you know, she'd come to a toy shop, she'd be straight in there. She said, where's my daughter? You know. So he said to his daughter, he says, I want you to stay close by and don't run ahead like that. Well, she just went down the next street and she was doing the same thing, running away, wanting to do her own thing. I want you to notice this as a parable. Wanting to do her own thing above the Father's will. And so while the little girl was doing what she wanted to do, the father slipped. He just slipped quickly into a shop doorway. Just stood in there, how they had those indents, and he stood in the doorway. And he watched the little girl from a distance. And the little girl was so busy doing what she wanted. Think of us. She did not notice her father's absence. What a tragedy. She did not notice that he had withdrawn from her. And you know what happened next? That little girl lost her interest of going to do what she wanted to do. She lost all desire to go to do other things, she started to cry out, Daddy! Daddy, where's Daddy? Look, hey, you've seen this in shops. Mum, where's Mum? Where's Dad? Where are they? They can't find them running around and around. They get panicky. She lost interest. When you realize that your father has departed, you lose interest in the things you want to do. That is an attribute of the Holy Spirit. Takes all that stuff out of you. The father let her cry on for a little bit. As she intently looked for him, for a season, he let her do that. And when his father could take no more, he came up to her and touched her on the shoulder. And he picked her up on her arms, his arms. And there's such a sobbing and such a joy that she had found her father. And you know, brother and sister, she learned a lesson. She learned, really learned a lesson. He never had to say to her again, stay close by me. He'd got her attention. I believe, brothers and sisters, a real lesson to us all. You know what? Her father had never left her. He was watching at a distance everything she was doing. And your father has not left you. He's just withdrawn for a season. And he's watching from a distance everything you are doing. When we are so intent on what we want to do, it's just like the prodigal son. You know the story of the prodigal son. I want my inheritance now. Oh my. You know, when you get that thing rising up in you, I want this no matter, no one's going to stop me. Attitude. So the prodigal's father, he just let him go. And probably he had to wait many months while he just did his thing. Riotous living, the Bible says. Wanting to do this, wanting to do that. Getting all the popularity, getting all the, you know, friends and things he's always wanted to do. The end result of that experience was a good one. The prodigal found himself in a stinking pig pen. And where was his father? His father was watching from a long distance away. Every day he went out to see if he'd come. And brother and sister, God's doing that with you. He's wanting to know if you'll come back to him. So that's exactly what God our Father has to do to us. He has to withdraw. A little wrath, it says, a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. You read that Isaiah 54 verse 8. It's an amazing scripture. It's a powerful truth here. And you know, Jesus, I want you to listen carefully to this. Jesus suffered the same chastisement. Think of it. Isn't that amazing? Jesus suffered the same chastisement. Probably one of the worst things Jesus suffered at Calvary. I'm absolutely sure the shame, the whip, the crown of thorns, the nails were terrible for our Lord. They were most unbearable, especially in Jesus' weak state. They say he lost 7 liters of blood. He was very weak. He collapsed under the cross. These things were really bad. But that was not the worst. That was not the worst. Then came his worst nightmare. I want you to listen carefully. The Father forsook him and left him hanging alone. He was all by himself. terrible. Lord. No wonder he said in the garden, Lord, if it be possible, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See, Jesus was completely surrendered to God. That's what he wants from you. He wants not members. He's not wanting church people and all these things. That's all good. He's wanting you to be totally, 100% surrendered to God. He wants it. And you know what? He's going to get it. If you're his child, he's going to get your surrender. And you know, brother and sister, you may have to go through this, these experiences, but it really works, as we've had from the examples. Jesus was overcome with grief and despair when he cried on the cross. Total agony. We'll turn to this in Matthew 27:46. Jesus wasn't just saying a little whispering of prayer. He cried with a loud voice. Maybe all the soldiers turned around. What was going on? He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken, brother and sister. He was left alone. Terrible. What had Jesus done that the Father would have forsaken him? He hadn't done anything wrong. Why was he left in that terrible condition? And God walked out on him. He forsook him. What had he done? Why did God forsake him? Because of you. And me. That was why he left him. God forsook Jesus because, in God's eyes, sin was hanging there on the cross. Think about it, brother and sister. Jesus had never done anything wrong, but in God's eye, he saw sin hanging on the cross. Because of our sin, my sin, he was hanging there. The Bible clearly states this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him, that's Christ, hath made Christ to be sin for us. He was made sin for you and for me who knew no sin. He didn't have sin, but he was made sin that we might be the righteousness of God in him. That's why God forsook him. Yes, Jesus suffered the same chastisement for you and I. He was chastened by God. The sin was chastened. Let's turn to Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, there it is, of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So, brother and sister, Jesus was taking the raw end of the deal. He was chastised, just like God wants to chasten us. But he did it for us. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And for our transgressions and for our iniquities, he hung there. Now, there's a big difference here which needs to be pointed out. I want you to note this. We sometimes feel that God has forsaken us or hid his face from us. But really, really he's standing in the shop doorway, watching us from a distance. But in Jesus' case, God had left him. He forsook him. All alone because of our sin, your sin, my sin. Sin had to be paid for, and the only way was by death and the shed blood of an innocent sacrifice of which he qualifies. Isn't that wonderful? Who's glad the Lord qualified? He's a righteous man. Why? What a righteous God he is. So what can we do, brother and sister? If the trials have come and we feel forsaken, and you'll feel forsaken, it's a terrible experience. The worst experience you can have is to feel God has forsaken you. It's the worst trial of all trials to feel that he has left you. But he's done it for a purpose. Just remember, God is watching you, and he wants you to come back to himself. That's why he's left you. That's why you can't feel his presence when you get down to pray. You're not feeling, you're not getting through. There's something wrong. Yes, there is something wrong. And God is not happy about it, but he loves you, and he's helping you. You've got to be chastised by the Holy Ghost. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But he does want us to repent. Oh yes. For those things we have not surrendered to him. He's not interested in 99% surrender. God's not interested in that. He's interested in 100% surrender. You say, I cannot do it. That is true. But God can do it for you. If you'll just give him the leeway. Say, Lord, I want you to help me to surrender everything. I'm just sick and tired of walking two lives. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You're 1 minute for God, next minute for what you want to do. And when it comes to between God and what you want to do, you want to do what you want to do always wins. So God will just withdraw until you are willing. Like the prodigal, he wanted to do what he wanted to do. I'm going to do it anyway. It's always what I want to do. Get my inheritance and go for it. His father let him go. You want to go? You go. But he came to himself when he got to the bottom of the road in a stinking pig pen. The Bible says he came to himself. I love those words. He came to himself. He said, I would be better off with my father. Oh, what a beautiful thought. And brother and sister, when you've run your course, you've come to the end of your rope and you're realizing that, oh, what I want to do, I want to do this, I want to do that. When you get the end of it all, you start to realize, I'll be better off with the Lord. You see, brother and sister, this is how it works. God knows how to regulate a trial. He knows what to put you through. He exactly knows how to handle you. And he loves you with an undying love. For those who do not surrender to him. And if we genuinely, sincere about surrendering to him, he will not despise us, but he will receive us back to himself again. You know, God is full of mercy and compassion. He's loaded and overflowing with all these things. His mercies are new every morning. You know, brother and sister, maybe yesterday or last week, and you thought, oh God, he forgave me that, but I don't think he'll have much left. Oh yes, he does. He is overflowing with the goodness and the mercy of God to his children, and he wants to help you. And if we don't listen to him, he will bring something that will make you say, it's better to be with my father. Do you know what our lovely Lord Jesus said? When you come back to him, your tail between your legs, You've done your run. You've done what you wanted to do. I want to do this. I want to do that. But God has been speaking to you and convicting you, and you constantly go your own way. When you start to realize you have to come back to my father, I think it's better off with my dad. You gingerly come back like the prodigal said, Lord, I'm not worthy. Father, I'm not worthy to be your son. Make me your servant. That's true repentance. That's the attitude you have. Lord, I'm not worthy to be forgiven. I'm not worthy to be your son or your daughter. I've been so caught up with my program. You come back to him. You humble yourself before him. I love what Jesus said in John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that beautiful? He's not going to say, oh, Bill, we're not going to have you back here again. You messed up, sorry. He'll no wise cast you out. If you come to him 1,000 times, he will not, in sincerity of heart, he will not cast you out. Isn't that wonderful? Let's say praise the Lord. Brother and sister, this is powerful that we have a miserable God, and the reason he chastises us and the reason he chastens us, because you are a son and daughter of God. We read it before. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Yes, he may hide himself from you for a season, but it's for your good and for your betterment. Remember, he loves you with an everlasting love. Just like you love your children, you cannot give them up. You love them. Who wants God's presence back into their life? Raise your hand. Brothers and sisters, I want it back in my life. We all do. God's got a way of getting your attention. Oh, has he ever? It's a good thing too. So what we can do, what can we do? We need to quickly repent of our ways. I'm not talking about giving your heart to the Lord again. I'm not talking about these things. I'm talking about repenting of our ways. Turning around from our attitude, the things we want to do. I want to do this. I want to do that. No one's going to tell me what to... Uh-oh. When you get into the pig pen, you'll reverse all that in your thinking. When you get down on the bottom line, it gets really tough. You start crying out to God, God be merciful unto me. Just look at the book of Acts in 2:36. Acts 2:36. There's some people there that had to be really arrested by the Holy Spirit. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified. Oh, brother and sister, we put him on the cross. These people Peter was speaking to had nothing to do with the crucifixion. The Romans put him on the cross, but it was because of the people that he went to Calvary. It's because of you and I that he was hung on that cross and he was made sin. Made sin? Whose sin? Our sin. He was made sin for us. Remember, he loves you with an everlasting love. You have crucified both Lord and Christ. Oh, terrible feeling that came over them. And the anxiety, not because, oh, is that right? None of that. Oh, is that what happened? Jesus died on the cross. Very nice. It's more than that. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Put a prick into their heart. Conviction. And said unto the Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We realize what we've been doing, what we've done. And we're no different from them. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repentance, to turn around from what you're doing. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. What an amazing answer. When they said, what shall we do? Is he going to send us to hell or what? No. He said, repent of your ways. Turn around and come to God. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord God shall call. And brothers and sisters, if you're seeking for the Holy Spirit, you need to really repent. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive it. Isn't that wonderful? Say praise the Lord. Remember, if you mean business with God, if you mean business with Him, you're not just saying, oh, this is what the church does. That's what the Bible says. It's got to be more than that. You've got to be pricked in your heart. Convicted of your life. Convicted of your attitude. Say, Lord, I've just been going my own way. Oh, Lord, shake me up. Shake me through and through. Shake my household. Lord, wake us up. We're just backslidden. When you do that from your heart, you mean business with God. He will mean business with you. He'll come to you. I promise you in the name of the Lord. In this very late hour, we each need to be seriously checking up. We need to check up. I need to check up every day, not just on Sunday morning or some convention somewhere. We need to check up every day. Lord, am I really getting serious and doing what your word has told me to do? Or if I reasoned it out, so I don't think I need to do that today. It's not for us today. What? You know, Charles Spurgeon said, it's a great dishonor to God when people say, I need to pray over what the Word of God says. He says, you don't need to pray over it. You do it. I've heard people say, you know, for baptism, when they've come, well, I'm praying about baptism. You don't need to pray. Peter said, I command you to be baptized. I command you to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You don't need to pray for it. Just do it. We make excuses. So you're the only one that can do the checking, not me. I'm sorry, I've got a full-time job on Howard Searle. I'm checking up every day. You people out on the internet listening, you need to do your own checking. I cannot check for you. No one else can check for you. You have to do your own checking. Think about it. God wants to hear from you personally. Remember, if you draw nigher to God, He will draw nigher unto you. Let's read that from James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigher unto God. You see, brother and sister, if you draw nigh unto Him, you become serious about it. You're not just going to have a few little words. I'll say a word for the prayer book. Come on. That's nonsense. Get on your knees and pour your heart out to God. If you've got pricked in your heart, say, Lord Jesus, I want to draw nigh unto Thee. Reveal to me my misbehavior, the things that I'm doing that are not right. And then it says, and He will draw nigh unto you. You wonder why He's not drawing nigh? He's away off somewhere? He's not present with you? You're not getting serious enough. You're just playing around. I say this to myself. I preach it to myself. If nobody else will hear it, I'm hearing it. I need to get more serious with God. He knows what I'm saying. I'm not preaching a sermon. Something is real to my heart. And He knows it. We have dealings, the Lord and I, continuously. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Oh, I thought we were talking to believers. No, God says, ye sinners. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. You're double-minded because you're for God and then you fall for yourself and your programming. God, oh, well, if it works out, I'll come. Something wrong. Brother and sister, we've got to serve the Lord with all our hearts and all our minds and everything's within us. So this explains to us why He draws aside for a small moment. For a small moment have I forsaken you. He's not against you. He's for you. He loves you. He's doing all he can for you. He died for you. He gave all his life for you. He gave everything. He gave every drop of blood for you. Brothers and sisters, I just think we're just blasé about it. We need a touch from God. Realize what he's done for us. Sometimes we wonder why he's moved away. Can't get through in your prayer life. Can't get that anointing on you. He's withdrawn for a season. See what you'll do. Just remember, he's in the shop doorway, waiting for you to respond. Dad, where are you? Lord, I want you like I used to know you. Stir up our pure hearts by way of remembrance. I want you, Lord. With all that's within me, I want you. Who feels that way? I want it, Lord. May God help us all. And why does God do this? Listen carefully as we close. Why does God do this? Well, he withdraws for a moment. He forsakes us. Because with great mercies, I will gather thee. With everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on thee. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for having mercy on me. Everlasting mercy. God doesn't quit on you. Saith the Lord thy Redeemer. So, brother and sister, just remember this. If you're going through a hard time, and many of you maybe are and will, he wants all of you. He's wanting a total surrender. He wants you from top to bottom. That he can use you in a mighty way. That you may be an impact upon his children. The power of God would be in your life. When we just realize that we have been running, doing our own program. Like that little girl. I want to do this. I want that. He just withdraws. I just think it's really amazing scripture to me. I just it popped off the page when I first read it. I thought, boy, we should preach on that. For a small moment, maybe bring it up again, Nancy's 54, verse 6 and 9, verse 7. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, the Lord said. But with everlasting mercies will I gather thee. When? When you wake up. He's withdrawn. He's forsaken you because you're not listening. Keeps on telling you, oh yes, I'll do, and never do it. We have taken no heed. But he'll get you. He's going to get you, and you might pay for it, but it'll be worth it all. In a little wrath, he says, the Lord says, I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Do you love the Lord Jesus this morning? Isn't it wonderful? Shall we just stand to our feet? Lord Jesus, how we love you. Lord, we love you with our whole heart and soul, Lord. We just have a great admiration for your character, your tenderness. Lord, you won't put us through things we cannot sustain. You won't put us through things, Lord, that are beyond our... You won't suffer us to be tempted above that which we're able. But Lord, with the temptation, you'll make a way of escape. And Lord, maybe there's people here and those out there listening, Lord, that need a way of escape out of this situation. Lord, they've got themselves into. But Lord, they've found themselves in a pig pen of despair. They're not happy, Lord. There's just something wrong. Oh, Lord Jesus, be merciful to us. Draw us in your love, Lord. You said you'd not forsake us forever, but you'd, Lord, help us and bring us back into your presence. Lord Jesus, any here this morning that need to do that, may they quickly move and say, Lord, I want to do it. I don't care what others say. I don't care what my mother says, my father, or my brothers and sisters. Lord, I'm in desperate need, Lord, for you to come back into my life and to, Lord, to not forsake me anymore. As you did Israel, Lord, we read in Nehemiah 9, the patience of God to Israel is outstanding. Oh, amazing. How God tolerated that, I do not understand. How you tolerated me, Lord, I do not understand. Lord, you're merciful. I pray you'll be merciful to everyone that's listening, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, may you go deep down into our hearts. The door is closed to thee. Fill us with thy spirit. Lord, we just commit this into your hands. In the name of Jesus. Don't let us escape this, Lord. Don't let the devil take this word out of our hearts. Lord, may it just sink deep down. Right down, Lord. We'll choose this day whom we'll serve. We're going to serve ourselves or we're going to serve the Lord. Lord, we want you to come back. Right back into our lives. Lord, I love you. I love you with all my heart, Lord. I know my brothers and sisters love you too. Sometimes we blame the devil for this and that, and we can't feel God, and the devil's keeping away from God. No, no. That's not true. We are keeping ourselves away from God. Maybe the devil's used, but it really comes down to us. You've withdrawn for a season. You've forsaken us for a season. We wonder why we go through the hardships. Lord, may we get back on track today, for your coming is at hand. I pray, Lord, you'll bless every brother and sister here. Move upon every heart by your Spirit, I pray, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, I want to say something to you. I've spoken from my heart this morning. I've been going through this myself. God knows what I'm talking about. And you, if you're a child of God, you're going to go through it too. But if you can circumvent that by just coming to Him with all your heart and soul. God doesn't enjoy doing that. There's no pleasure in God chastising us, but He loves you. And He's not going to lose you. Don't you love Him? The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. It's entirely God's doings. So as this beautiful hymn has been quoted, why don't we sing it unto the Lord? My faith looks up to thee. We've got to look to God this morning, not to anyone else, but to Christ, to search our hearts. Hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day, be holy, 100% thine. May God be merciful to each one. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary. Save me, God. Hear me while I sister. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to move in a mighty way, not just here, but in, amongst His people, wherever they are around the world, before He comes. I truly believe there'll be a final move of God's power, and you need to be separated, dedicated, consecrated totally to God to be a part of that move. By Thy rich grace impart to my fainting heart. He said, Lord, take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. He was fearful that God would leave him. We should be the same. We need Him. We've got to realize we've got to get closer to God. We've got to get into His presence. But there may be some hindrances stopping that. God's not fickle. God just to do anything. He wants clean vessels. He wants people that are separated lives. And He's looking at you from the shop window. Why don't you call out to Him and say, Lord, I want this experience. When He comes for me in power and majesty to take me home, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above, a ransomed soul. Anybody like prayer, just come forward. Anybody like to pray at the altar, come forward. One day this altar will not be available to you. If God is speaking to you, you need to do what He's prompting you. This has nothing to do with the church. It's all to do with you and God. When Jesus comes for me in power and majesty to I pray that the word has been spoken, find good ground. Lord, I know You've spoken to hearts here and afar, actually. I know You have, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You'll do a mighty work in every one of us, including me, Lord. You know how much I've been exercised about this in my own life. I pray, Lord, that You'll be gracious to us all. Don't let us miss the hour of our visitation. Don't let us miss what You're trying to say to us, Lord. Help us to wake up, clear our minds, Lord. Lay aside every thought that's contrary to Your word. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. We'll sing this last verse again as Brother Tim is here around here. Would you like to come, Brother Timothy? When Jesus comes for me.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word, Lord, and for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that speaks to our hearts, Lord Jesus, Lord, and all for that privilege, Lord, of to be chastened by you, Lord, to be called your sons and daughters, Lord, and to have that call, Lord, in our hearts, Lord, that beckons us closer, Lord, and Lord, to set ourselves aside, Lord, for you, Lord. Lord, and we just thank you for the time, Lord, this morning. Lord, and we just pray a blessing, Lord, on the food, Lord, and the fellowship, Lord, that your sweet presence, Lord, would be present with us, Lord, even as we leave these doors, Lord, that you would just dwell with us, Lord, and in us, I pray. We just thank you for it, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
I just want to reiterate something. I feel it's very important. As we leave the auditorium, please no talking. No talking in this sanctuary. There's people waiting on God, seeking the Lord. Let's keep it as reverent and sincere as we can. Talk out there, fine, or over in the hall, that'd be great. So I just wanted to say that again. I felt it convicted in my heart to do it. So God bless you all.